I really enjoy the table meeting, especially the thing said for the father in number 25. Father has bestowed upon us, and so that we can be as a sinner and regenerate to be the sons of God. What a blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, and that's actually one of my favorites. Blessed be the Father of God, of all Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, that we can be His very Son. And through that, in His divine economy, not only we have a Father's choosing, selection, predestination, we also have Son's redemption. And now we have the Son's redemption, and all this is just a so great a salvation. We send to the most able. And we also have a spiritual spirit to come to pledge in us. Not only regenerate us, today He's actually a portion of our inheritance, and He's actually seeing us. Stamp us, to put His image on us, to put His substance into us, that we can be His inheritance. What a privilege. Amen. And in all this, of course, it's not just for individual benefit, because it's continued that also all this, He accomplished everything, is to the church, which we are a member of the church. The church is the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all and in all. So God's eternal purpose, certainly His eternal purpose is that gain a body for Christ. And of which of course is the bride of the Christ also, and the consummation in the new Jerusalem. But in this process, of course, the triune God in His divine dispensing is doing a far, far out of things. That's what we say. This Christ, God Himself, went through a tremendous process. That is many, many steps, many, many things. And then for the purpose that He can gain you, gain me. You know, I recall I was born in a typical atheist family. But we thank the Lord, in time, He saved me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I was doing my own thing, but one day the Lord came to me. And through certain the prayers and so forth, I was saved, got regenerated. But initially, I did not know too much about the God's eternal purpose. I only know I was happy myself. I got saved, you know. And I find my joy. And the purpose of a human life is that we can have the eternal life. But of course, they don't, as in the church life, and more, the Bible, the truth began to revealed to me, and so that gradually I know God is actually not just an infinite of power, but God is a person with a feeling, with thoughts, with purpose, and actually with a desire, with good pleasure. And in that, He actually arranged everything in this whole universe. The creation, the arrangement, and actually the existence of you, existence of me, even all the world situations arranged just for one purpose, that is to fulfill His good pleasure in His heart. And what is His good pleasure? His good pleasure is to, number one, to fill His sacrifice in us, so that we can be regenerated. But that's not stopping there. Not only have the life of God, but we also have to grow in this life, to the full, mature man. And not in the individual way, but in the corporate way, so that we can be a full-grown man, and a one new man. And this one new man is not only mature in life, in stature, but also in its full function. As the body of Christ, so the head of the body of Christ can today continue to live and express Himself. We just have the Lord's table. The Lord set up His table. On the time He set up this, He says, take this bread and eat. This is my body. Well, He was saying that His body was broken. And of course, this signified His physical body was crucified on the cross. But we can eat and drink whatever he has accomplished for us. And today, his physical body, and today, through his redemption, death, and the resurrection, we are taking him in. Symbolically, but in spirit, we do take him in. And eating, drinking, and we became his mystical body, the universal body of Christ. So that the head, today, after 2,000 years, through his death and resurrection, this head ascended to Christ today can still live through his body.
Amen.
And we are the member of his body. What a privilege. Oh, Lord Jesus, we have been firmly attached to him, and today, as the head of the body, is living through his members. That is every one of you and me. And in this, of course, it's not just you and me. The Bible says he desires all men to be saved.
Amen.
And the greatest prophecy, greatest promise in the Bible, everyone says in Matthew, the Christ says, I will build my church.
Amen.
But how does he build his church? How does he build it? And certainly he has done in his earthly ministry the full judicial redemption. And then today in his heavenly ascended ministry, he's doing the organic salvation, and through you and me, and also through you and me, by our daily enjoyment of him, we can grow. But also through our living him out, we can also get all men to be saved, to fulfill his desire. Today, God cannot do anything except through you and me in full cooperation with the head, Christ himself. Brother Chu mentioned, you know, I'd like to give my testimony. I was saved when I was a college student as a freshman. Initially, you know, just enjoying the church life, not knowing a lot of things. But thank the Lord, I was saved in the Lord's recovery. And then, but then that was almost 50 years ago. It dated me a bit. But what I'm saying is this, at those times, I did not have the privilege to have all the today's high peak of the divine truth. It took quite a bit of time for me to get to it. But I was very happy I'm living today. We can receive not only the printed Bible, translated Bible, but the opened Bible. There are many throughout the 2,000 years, many people read the Bible with different various ways. But today, I can honestly say the Bible is really opened to us according to God's desire, according to God's central thought. There are many things in the Bible, but we must ask, what is the center? What's the primary center, the purpose of the Bible? Of course, we know the Bible is the Word of God to reveal, number one, himself. And certainly, in himself, actually revealed to us, he has a divine plan. He has a good pleasure. In the council of the divine Trinity, there's a decision made that they want to do something. That is, he wants to give a body for Christ. But in that, there's a lot of process in all the wisdom that's arranged to all kinds of things throughout the ages come down. And being a young man at that time, all the young men are somewhat ambitious. We have our own plan and so forth. But eventually, if I find out all my plans, everything I can think of, being a scientist, created, invented many things, tried to improve the human living and so forth, all those things are the best temporary. At the worst, has many, many unexpected negative side effects. That's what this is all about. And many times I joke with my colleagues, I say, you know, this chemist so for the many, many things, and then you can do again to solve your, try to improve and solve your problem. You have a mutual assurance of employment. But that's just a joking with them, because they solve something, create a more problem. And then they solve this, and then they create a more problem. And this is incessant, you know, and in these cycles, and so forth. So, indeed, a job security for all of them.
그렇기 때문에
but eventually thank the Lord through his revelation I do see God in my neutral position what is God is doing which is something eternal and then I just discard all that really dive into this so this is a well to make a long story short and this is about to about 1991 I was in a meeting with Brother Lee. The history is this. We went on in certain ways, and Brother Lee in the U.S., you know, in Taiwan, the country U.S., really bring in, I would call it, the ministry of the age, which is really open up the God's economy. That is, through the central land, what really God's desire throughout the ages that's been revealed in the Bible. Rather than all the details, things in the doubt. There are many good things in the Bible, there's no doubt. Everything is very good, it's on the Lord's heart. But what was to be the center? What was really the center? So, certainly, the truth in the Bible is the primary and the fundamental, because that's the reality. And it's through the truth, and then that will bring us into light and into life. And without the light, without the light, and so forth, we do not have the foundation. The truth is the guideline, the goal, tell us where to go, what to do, and so forth. But it's the light, line, carry it out. But what's the goal then? Well, the goal, as we said in here, is really to build up the church, because that's God, the Lord's promise. And the Ephesians say it very clearly. All this divine dispensing of the divine Trinity includes the tripartite man is for the one goal to build up the church, which is the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all and the in all. This word may be simple, but the church to unpack its content is really profound and unbounded, infinite in there. So I don't have much time to get into this, but suffice to say, I was caught. The fullness, the God is infinite, but then he still has a fullness. And where is the fullness? The fullness is the church. That's you and me. So without that you and me, God, although is eternally completed by itself, but in some ways, is still lack the fullness. But anyway, and then this is what God is doing. But then, we could get into a bit more. How does God accomplish this? Is God doing himself? All by himself? Actually, that's not the case. Because God, in his new creation, is always in principle of incarnation. That is, he wants to get into man and do everything through man in cooperation with him. This is the new creation, out from the old creation. So we need to give him the full cooperation. So in Ephesians later on, he says this. And then he gave many in the form of the gifts to the church. And then there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and so forth. And then in order to perfect all the saints, unto the work of the ministry, which is what? Unto the work of the ministry, which is to build up the body of Christ. So in other words, in this portion of the word, it says very clearly, how does God build up the church, which is his body, through every member of the body of Christ. Through every member of the body of Christ. So every saved one is a member of the body of Christ. Function may be different, but all members. So all the members need to function, to grow, to enjoy Christ, so that we can gain Christ's dispensing into us. We can grow in life, but a grow in life, right, is for what? For function. If just a life is static, you know, inanimated, and then it's just a dead course. But the life, we have a vitality, we live it, and then it's for action. For what? For doing the work. So that's why it says, unto the work of the ministry, which is the ministry of the New Testament, or the New Testament ministry, unique one. That is to build up the body of Christ. So, whether in a certain stage, you are in
from the 70s and so forth, he studied beneath a series of the life study of the Bible. Every book of the Bible, book by book, in a detailed way, reviewed. And later on, continue on into the crystallization study. So in his realization is this, the truth has been really, really to the peak. So that's called the high peak of the divine truth. All inherited, all included. Throughout the ages, every divine truth has been recovered and also included in the ministry. The divine truth is there, been released to all the saints, and all the saints have enjoyed the divine truth. And also, there's a certain measure of the growth and life in all the saints by the enjoyment of the truth, which is the reality. But what's lacking is what? But what's lacking is the building up of the body. Certainly, in the substance, you may say, in terms of quality, that's in terms of saints' inward life. But also, the body of Christ also has a stature and a measure which need to be increased also. That is, we need to grow in number also. After all the ministry is to feed all the people. God does desire all men to be saved. So this aspect is a fairly lacking. Fairly lacking. That's why he was very worried to actually impart the saints with the other aspect of it revealing the Bible. That is, the recovery is not only just recover the truth, life, and these things, but also recover the practices so that all these truths and the life can be actually practically carried out in a practical way. So it's not just we have a blueprint. That looks like very good. But we need to step by step to build the building. And how do we do that? That is through every saint to function and to be perfected. So, and then he says, okay, let me go back to the Bible again to see how does this work out. And actually find out, actually it's all not complicated. Actually, through the very first day, the church came into existence in Acts 2, after the Pentecost. And then 5,000 got saved, 4,000 got saved, add to the church. What do they do though? How do they continue? Of course, in Acts 2, we see very clearly that these ones got saved and continue steadfast in the teaching, fellowship of the apostles. That again is the truth and life, the supply. But then when they join this, where do they do that? And then, of course, they continue this, continue steadfastly, that is, they will stop. And also in the temple, and also from house to house. So in the temple, of course, that's because the Jewish background, and that's the gathering place. We do need that. But also in the daily life, they gather from house to house. And then continue that from house to house in the fellowship, and also they take the bread, breaking the bread in exalted joy. And through that, it says the following. The numbers have been added together. That means what? In their house-to-house gathering, it's not just they themselves enjoy it, but also they have their friends, neighbors, other people came to enjoy together with them. And then when they enjoy this, they become what? They enjoy the same thing. They got saved, so therefore they can add it together. And that's how the church grows. So the church grows by certainly our enjoyment of the word, by the riches of the speaking, of the apostles' teaching, the apostles' fellowship. And today, actually, this is what we need to be filled with the word. We need to be filled with the enjoyment of the reality. And in that, in our living, that is mostly in our homes and so forth. And then, with such an enjoyment with all the neighbors, friends, colleagues, and so forth, wherever our acquaintances invite them to join us for a meal, because then they take their breaking their bread, right? You have to understand that breaking bread is not this what we have to pay, you know, no table. That means just together. Breaking the bread means they eat together, day by day, in that way. And so in that is in their very practical daily life, they enjoy the Lord, invite their friends, and in that, the word, the gospel, that propagated, and the people got saved at the church. But and then in the 90s and following, look at the statistics. And it says the increase rate is actually at best 2% yearly. And this is a very, very unsatisfactory. So now, you know, and let me go faster. And then 1991, I remember it's a bit of time, because later on I did find some messages that printed. It's the following. Well, they started studying this, how can we all the saints to function so that everyone can bear fruit in the increase. Now, brothers and sisters, we have to understand, to gain the increase is not just gain the increase sake. In other words, we know very clearly. So that he is very clear about the gospel economy. He knows our preaching the gospel is not just traditionally saved soul. Certainly that's part of it, but that's not the end of it. But on the other hand, without the people got saved, we don't have the next step. Just like many times they say, well, we need to have a people in the high tech and the soul folks get a PhD, but we got to start with what? With kids, with elementary school education. We don't have any birds, and we don't have any people. And how are we going to have all these matured persons? So you go back to this. So in that meeting, actually that was meeting, was through the elders and the co-workers. And he said the following. I remember it very clearly. He said, I've been speaking this many times with you about this and that and so forth. But now I'm talking to you. That is, all the leading ones and so forth. And whosoever will, I challenge you this one. He says, the way that you open up your home, to invite the people, and to share the gospel with people, that's the best way and the guarantee that we'll get the increase. And he said about, he challenged all of us, he said, brothers, you know, I'm speaking to you, don't go back to speak to charge all the saints. He said, in the past, what happened was, I spoke to you, and then you in turn spoke to the saints, and the saints may not respond, and then the saints. So nothing happened. He says, this time, I'm speaking to you. Don't go back to tell the saints, do this, do that. You do it yourself. And he says, okay, do this. He said, for 1 year, for 52 weeks, if you, every Friday, or once a week, you open up your home, get the new ones, invite the new ones, and so forth, and then you do this for 52 weeks, and see whether you get the new ones or not. And remember he says, you know, if you cannot get the new ones, you can't come in. And this one I find that this, some of these are edited out, if you got printed the first, which is expected, okay. But I remember, I take the challenge. So I said, okay, well, Lee, okay, you said, okay, I'll take up your challenge, and I went back and then talked with my wife and share with her what the share. I said, how about let's do this? Okay, I have a agreement with my wife. I say it's a vow. I said, okay, we'll do what the brother Lee said. For the coming year, we'll do this for 1 year. Every week, we'll open up our home, and to carry out what the brother Lee talked about the meeting. Now the meeting, this whole meeting he was talking about, is not just the saints come together to enjoy the Lord. This is, that doesn't count. The count for 50 weeks is this, you will have the new one saved. Then that counts. Okay. Because many times though, we say we get together to really enjoy the Lord. We have a good time. We sing the song, we enjoy the Lord, the ministry of religion and so forth. But one of these points is this. If week after week, year after year, we say we come together to enjoy the Lord, but no increase, and then eventually we're going to all die out. So this is not the way to go. So he says, the meeting we're talking about, he's talking about, is the meeting with the new ones. So you have to go find a new one. Okay. So my agreement, or you may say, fellowship with my wife, it says the following. I said, okay, how about this? Let's say every Friday, let's just say the Friday, y'all. Every Friday, let's prepare a meal. And if you do the cooking, I'll get the new ones. And all the time I thought, you know, I got a much harder job. And it is not. Okay, so we did that. And then, well, he's always cooking, so cooking is not a problem. But I get the new ones, you know,
really helpful.
Well, my wife actually, okay, well, since Peter mentioned it, I have 5 children, and you know, at that time, very, very young, and my wife also has a full-time job. I live in Riverside, as I mentioned, and Riverside has a reputation called the bedroom community. That means people sleep in Riverside, but they are working all the time in Los Angeles. That's where the job song. So she has one way about an hour and a half. So he spent about 3 hours on the road. And some of these details I can tell you later. But let me get to the main line. So for this, we take it very seriously. It's not as half-hearted a way. My wife and I decided on this, we agreed, so we all say, okay, we're going to do it for a year. And that actually, we every day, before we go to the bed, we pray for it. You know, it's not we just do it, you know. Every day, every night, before we go to bed, we pray for this Friday night meeting. Lord, give us a new one. Get the new one saved, Lord. Just pray for this meeting, so that the new ones can be gained for the Lord's body. And also, we pray for this, and then I have to pray, Lord, where can I get a new one? So I can contact people, and this and that, and so forth. And the Lord was a bit humorous, and I work at the University of California, Riverside. You know, naturally, I try to get the students, get those around the campus there. It turned out, well, no new ones want to come. And eventually, what I can get one was about 30 minutes away, another college in San Bernardino, another city. It's called the Cal State University of San Bernardino. And this one is open. And, but then, that was half an hour away, one way, another half hour to get back. And this one doesn't have a vehicle. Oh, Lord Jesus. And it became a challenge. So for the then, since we have such agreement with the Lord, I can get the new ones, right? Otherwise the meeting doesn't come. But the Lord give you one, but it's a half an hour away. I can get it or not. I said, Lord, okay, if that's one you open, I'll go get it. So my wife, you know, prepared a meal, but there are some other saints, you know, about the small number of saints. So I you know, before the meeting, I have our there, half an hour to get back, and after meeting, another hour to send this one back. So we do have one new one. Hallelujah. And this went on for quite a few months. And then, but this one, still not saved. And then, she graduated. Oh Lord, she can go to somewhere else. And then, okay, I said, okay, well, we contact the new locality, you know, we can send. There is a new one, but instead of waiting a while, but I just say, take care of this one. And then, but her husband was not saved. But this husband doesn't want to come to the meeting. He will drop her, the sister, to my home meeting, and then he will go back to the lab. And after the meeting, he will come back to pick up her, his wife. But just about this time, this one, new one, the first one, left while the locality, and then he said, well, all this time, you know, I just sort of get out of a curiosity, he said, let me go in to take a look what's going on there. And so, well, he's a new one, hallelujah, because he hasn't got saved. So he came to the meeting, but the good thing is that eventually he was saved. And this is almost till the tail end of the 1 year. And he got saved, and then later on another one got saved. And these two, they both are students at my campus. And they themselves actually become, one is a brother, the other is a sister in chemistry department. And they actually, once they got saved into the church life, they really become evangelists. They really have the burden to get the news. And so after this, and then these new ones got saved. So that year, if I remember correctly, at least the two was baptized in my home. So, well, in a way, well, it is challenging for you. So I have nothing to say. So, in other words, I cannot go back to Brother Lee and say, hey, Brother Lee, it didn't work. Now, I don't need to do this anymore. But actually, who got saved? And not only got saved, actually, they began to bring the new ones. Of course, I continued to do that. And then, to make the long story short, is that after a period of time, we got so many new ones. Actually, I don't need to actually get the new ones myself. I spent a lot of time shepherding them and so on. Sometimes they say, well, in the day, the rest is the history. Once that gets going, always certain things are things. When you get started, it's difficult. Like set up a fire. You know, it's smoldering for a while, you have to keep at it. After you get a critical point, boom, it's ignited. Once it's ignited, it just continues itself. It just continues to start the fire. It will continue. And so my home meeting from that time, initially about 7 or 8, 5 or 6, and it fluctuates, and it gradually to grow. And after a while, it grow to about 40, sometimes got 50 steadily every week. So actually, my initial deal with my wife, actually in the long term, I was much easier. She gets to cook for 40 or 50 every week. And I don't need to get new ones myself. But I do have to care. We do continue to pray for this every day. And we do need to prepare not only the meal, we need to prepare the spiritual food also. We need to prepare the word and so forth, so on. So that these ones not just come for the food physically, but actually, eventually, they all got fed by the spiritual food. To make the long story short, we continue to stay fasting, and then as level grows, and many things, falling and so forth, we really coordinate together, pray, and take care of the new ones. In Riverside, we have a class mostly with the students, eventually, and as I just mentioned, Riverside is a bedroom community. We don't have much job there. And all these, most of them are master students, PhD, exchange scholars, and so forth. After they graduated, they all get a job somewhere else. And now, actually, just last time, in one of the gatherings in the intro, Brother Yashin, I want to thank you. Thank me what? We are enjoying the fruit of your labor. just in different places, actually. But my point is this, brothers and sisters. Brother Lee says the following. According to the New Testament pattern, ever since the church got started, the church life mostly for all the saints to function, the way is that in the homes. We certainly know in many passages in the Bible, the church in somebody's home is because the person started. And that's the place they can gather. And so even today, even a church like this big in New York and so forth, but this is still the 80% of the saints' church life are in the home. We do need a big gathering, but that's about the 20%. Because we live in the home. We don't live in the meeting hall, right? So mostly we get together, prayer meeting we get together, but that's how many hours in a week. We got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and so forth. And most of the time, we are not in a meeting hall. So therefore, the church life is not just a meeting life. Church life is our daily life. Church life is our daily life. We never take a departure from the church life, because church life, that's our daily living. So most of our living are in the home. With a contact this one, contact that one, and actually with our children, young people, all taken care of mostly in our homes. So for this, actually, we need to open up our homes. That is, in the Acts 2, it says from house to house. That is, everyone, almost like a taking turn, and so forth. Every home, every house is open for this. The Paul in the Ephesians, in Acts, when he sent for the elders from Ephesus, he said for 3 years, I was with you, and then I go from house to house, fellowship with you in tears and so forth. And that's how Paul actually taken up the saints, taking up the church. You know, church in Ephesus was not very big. So it's very easy, you may say, get everybody together and do it. But Paul, I'm sure he has a big meeting. But he's emphasizing this to the elders, to the saints there. He actually, while he was at the Ephesus, he actually did this house to house. And then to shepherd them, to supply them, to all the counsel of the God's word, he revealed to them. He holds nothing back to tell them about everything that's profitable to them. So this is the New Testament way. That is, our church life, the saints' church life, is in the home. In that, all the saints can function. All the saints, you know, this morning, I'm the one who functions more. Sorry about that. Because, you know, we have larger number, and there's not enough time. But then, of course, this is only Wednesday, the Lord's morning. But how about this afternoon, tomorrow, and so forth, in our job, and so forth. All the saints, we have the responsibility to really live out of Christ. This live out of Christ is to bear the fruit. In John 15, the Lord said very clearly, for that is that we abide in him, is the true vine, we are the branches. The branches of a vine tree, the only responsibility as we enjoy all the riches. But for the Father, this divine vine tree, the Father is the husbandman. Put all the riches of the Godhead in the divine vine tree. And we are the branches. We enjoy all the riches. For what purpose though? It's so that we can just grow a lot of branches. It says, so that we can bear fruit. We can bear fruit. And later on, in the same chapter, in the later part, it says, you know, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you with a purpose. That is, in Ephesians 1, the Father's predestination chose before the foundation of the world. And it's echoed in this passage in John chapter 15, you did not choose me, because before the foundation world, it doesn't exist. But the Father already chose us. He says, I choose you, and I set you, that is, with a purpose, with a commission, that is, so that you may bear fruit. And now you bear fruit, that your fruit will remain. And this is the positive side. On the negative side, he also needs the warning. That is, if a branch does not bear fruit, you'll be what? You'll be cut off. That is, separated from the real enjoyment of the rich supply of the divine tree, of the true vine tree. And this is a serious matter. This is a very serious matter. We don't want to be cut off from being attachment to the true vine, so that we can enjoy all the rich supply. But here's the question though. Many times we say, well, we do enjoy the ministry, we enjoy the word, when we get together, we do enjoy. Yeah. But we got to ask this. If we are in a healthy situation, if we do, it's a healthy branch without any defects or any hidden problems. And then the question is, why there's no fruit? Year after year. That means there must be some hidden blockage to hinder the fulfillment. Because in a healthy, normal situation, a branch is set because the Lord says, I set you to bear fruit. That's the purpose. The Lord will supply everything so that we can bear fruit. But then if there is no fruit, and then there must be some problem. We have to take care of this man. Watchman Nee has an experience in the following way. After he got saved, he certainly was a very, very burden for the gospel. He wanted to share the gospel with his friends, classmates, and so forth. But somehow, he preached the gospel, and then was not effective. Don't get saved. He can say this, say that, and so forth, and then no one got saved. So he fellowshiped with an older saint to ask him what's the problem. And then this one says the following, is anything you're struggling with the Lord? In other words, is anything you're struggling with? Can I get through? And watchman Nee felt, well, there's nothing. And one time he was reading his song and it says, well, on earth I have no one, in heaven there's no one I desire. But then all of a sudden he got lost. In heaven certainly there's no one, but on earth there is one. That is, you may say, his childhood grew up sweetheart. And this one was not saved. Not only not saved, she sometimes mocked him. The Lord he believed. He was really struggling. He didn't know what to do. He was trying to bargain with the Lord. Lord, don't touch this matter. I'll go to, you know, the Inner Mongolia. I'll go to this place and this other place. I'll preach the gospel and this and that. So the Lord don't answer. And eventually, thank the Lord, Father Nee, he actually dealt with this man. And actually, he just gave her up. And actually for that, if I'm correct, he wrote it in to write on 4,000 Sutai, you know, anyway. In other words, he actually gets through. Once he got through from that, his gospel preaching become prevailed. So my point is that even with our Father's experience and our experience of the Father, if we, our gospel preaching, has a problem year after year, we don't have the fruit. We have to open to the Lord. Lord, what is the blockage? What is something hidden in me that I don't even know? Lord, expose it. Lord, deal with this man so that I can be fruitful. That I can really enjoy your riches to the real full extent. So gospel preaching, you may say, or the being fruitful, is an indication whether we are healthy before the Lord or not. It's an indication. If year after year we don't have anyone, we can be saved and can bring them to the Lord as a branch of the true vine tree, and then something must be hidden there. We need to pray to the Lord. Lord, show me. I don't know. I want to be fruitful. Because this matter is serious. Because we may consider we're enjoying the Lord. But then, I dare not do this. I don't, you know, say what is the following. Is that sometimes the saints, if we think we are enjoying the Lord, but on the other hand, in reality is that year after year we don't have the fruit. He says we might be self-deceived. In other words, we are not really enjoying the Lord. We are just enjoying our soul. Not in the spirit. Something there we are not, we are just glossing over. And this is a serious matter. Don't we want to all grow before the Lord? We don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to be cut off from the real enjoyment. And actually, you'll notice the Lord comes, it does require food. Even of course, that's a topological, the dispensational significance, but nevertheless, the situation is still real. That is, you know that one time the Lord came, was hungry, came to the fig tree.
world around me.
Right?
Okay, I'll
and what happened? The tree was cursed. And with another time,
you
say, well, this the tree and the soul board are no good. You want to chop it down. And others say, just wait. That's, cultivate it and then give more fertilizer, manure, and so forth. And see next year, what's happening? It's still low, then we chop it down. So, in a sense, you know, on the one hand, the board is very, very merciful. On the other hand, the board does expect the fruit from us. Paul has such a urgency. He says the following. That is, you know, he says, I'm a labor priest and so forth, and to offer the Gentiles a sacrifice. And also, he says the following. So that he says, I am who I am, I'm what I am, okay, by the grace of God. But when we enjoy the grace of God, he says, so that the grace would not be in vain. In other words, when we enjoy, if there's no outcome, there's no fruit, that means all this enjoy from God's point of view is in vain. That is, all this dispensing ends up with nothing. In vain. And so, when he enjoys this grace, he says, well, so the grace will not be in vain. And then he says the following, as I labor more abundantly than all of it. That is, all the other so-called other apostles. So the enjoyment of the grace has a certain output result. That is, we actually become labor more abundantly than anybody else. In other words, the indication of our enjoyment of the grace has a certain manifestation, a certain result. Ultimately, of course, from Paul's point of view, he said, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I can be co-partners, co-enjoyers of the gospel. And then he's a living priest. Priests have to offer something for the God's satisfaction. God's food is the offering. It's God's food. If we don't offer something to the Lord is hungry. This is actually very, very much set out in the Old Testament as a typology. So today, the Lord is hungry, for our real offering. Of course, our offering, burnt offering, has many aspects. So, but one aspect is indeed offering up the Gentiles as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God. That is very good, having been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So this says, not only we need to be to get the people saved, that's certainly one part. And to continue, we need to shepherd them. Not only we need to beget them, we need to nourish them, cherish them, shepherd them, perfect them, so that they can be full grown and acceptable. Full grown, acceptable. A real, acceptable sacrifice for the Lord's satisfaction. This is a being a universal priesthood. There are many, many aspects, but in every aspect still come back to this. As branches, we need to bear fruit. As priests, we need to offer living sacrifices. You know, we just went through the winter training. The last message is that, well, since we have been saved from Egypt, from Pharaoh's terror, from God's, you may say, the punishment, we have gone through the name of God. Hallelujah. By the blood, we got saved. And by his mighty power, hand, and then we got to let the Egypt pass through the Red Sea to be baptized. We become God's people, solely for his purpose. For what? He says, I let you out with a strong hand, with the eagle's wing, so that you can be a priesthood for me. And this priesthood, of course, is universal. Everyone come out is a priest. The later on, because they failed, so that's why, you know, went to one tribe. But nevertheless, God's original intention is everyone is a priest. This, of course, is covered in the New Testament. In Peter, it says very clearly, God is a living stone, we are living stones, come together to build a spiritual house as a holy nation, holy priesthood, and also this one is the royal priesthood to offer the spiritual sacrifice. And then verse 5 in this 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9, it says what? The priesthood also is to tell out his virtues, that is, to announce the Christ to all the other people, to tell out his virtues. Amen. So, in a very brief way, I give you my testimony, and now, actually, you know, it's not there. It's by the Lord's mercy, and also through the prayer and the cooperation and the coordination with all the saints. And then, in my home, the many times they say my bathtub probably is the most valuable item in my home. In my bathtub, you know, at least a couple hundred people get baptized in my bathtub, but you know, not just me. It's really the Lord's mercy, and also it's all in the body. It's the saints, my spirit, and soul. So it's really a joy, because everywhere, many times I go to this place, and to tell the truth, I don't even remember that. There are too many people. I'm in your house, this and I was baptized, and I have five children, sometimes I forgot their name also. My wife wants to use me, and I call this one that, and call this one that. But it's really a joy, you know, because we have the fruit, and then that's really make our joy full. Because this is to the glory of the Father. My conclusion is this, saying it is doable. If we are serious with the Lord is serious with us. You just, maybe you can take this challenge also. It's not my challenge, but it is challenge. Maybe you can consider with yourself, with your wife, talk about this. Maybe you can also make a vow or make a decision. Try for a year. Every once a week, consistent. Whichever the day is good, and then you invite the new ones. Get the new ones. Backsliding ones probably also come. Probably just the new ones. New ones, I mean, they are not usually the church vibe. Okay. And so invite them, and you just continue this. And it is normal, right, for all the human beings, normal, and so forth, the fruit trees, the bear fruit once a year. So if we all can do this in a cooperative way, coordinated way, pray for one another, and we pray ourselves, take those words seriously, and then we can probably all bear one fruit a year, and if we many fruit. So for that, we do need to have a plan, some consideration before the Lord, maybe some arrangement. It's all worthwhile. After all, you know, only these ones. Many times I say, I have five children. It's, oh, that's very good. But on the other hand, my consideration is all this. We all need even more the spiritual children. After all, our physical children is only in the old creation. But spiritual children is a new creation. That's the reality, and that will go to all eternity. Whereas our physical children, if they are not being brought into the new creation, thus will be all the relationship will dissolve. After all creation passed away. So it's a very serious matter for us all to be fruitful and not barren. In the Old Testament, your barrenness is a great, great shame. We need to pray desperately that we will not be barren. I'm talking about spiritual things. We need to pray desperately, Lord, remove the shame of being barren, that we want to be very fruitful for you, and so that this is what to the Father's glory. In John 15, it says, if we bear fruit, actually, whatever we ask, for the sake of the bearing the fruit, the Lord will provide for us. We may ask many other things, but if we ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, I want to be fruitful. We supply, of course, in many aspects. Supply us with the strength and also be able to deal with certain hidden matters. That's also we bring us into the real experience and the enjoyment of the Lord's subjective salvation. Otherwise, there is some sort of hidden blockage we cannot grow. Certainly, we may need to have an after confession. Certainly, we may need to deal with certain things, like what should be did, and so forth. But if we are serious with the Lord Jesus, supply your resurrection life, supply so that I have the strength to deal with these matters. Lord, I want to be fruitful. We ask the Lord. And then John 15 says, He will supply us. And when we are fruitful, and then this is to the glory of the Father. Because the Father's life is propagating love. Right? That's why the Father. It's not just God, not the Father. Father means what? You have children, then you have father. You don't have any children, you're not a father. But Father's life, Father wants to be manifested. Father wants to be glorified. So when we are fruitful and then multiply, Father is being glorified. And in Luke 15, when any one of the sinners got saved, the heaven and the earth rejoices. It will make our joy full. You know, many times I say this to the saints. Anytime you have problems, you get depressed, you get down, disappointed, find somebody to preach the gospel. I guarantee you will be saved. Really? You try this. Whenever you are down, you are depressed, you feel like all these things, just find somebody, share the gospel with this. I guarantee you, you will be the first one who got saved. And then the other one that saved will be a huge bonus. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I should stop here. And I hope this is my testimony. And I'll continue to do this till the Lord comes. Many times, you know, my age is, oh, I should retire. What will you retire for? We never retire. In human life is like getting old, you don't bear fruit. But the Bible says, you know, the righteous person, we are born, what? You still bear fruit. Hallelujah. Human life is getting old, you lost the reproduction ability. But the spiritual life is different. We do have the privilege. Any time, any age. Actually, spiritually speaking, as time goes on, we got to renew more. We should become more younger. We should be more vital. I mean, humanly speaking, right? So, my encouragement is to, whatever the age you are, we all need to bear spiritual fruit, to produce spiritual children, to the glory of the Father, and for mutual enjoyment with the Lord Himself. Amen.